Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Time for that Monday basketball talk here on Drive Time Sports. Look forward to this each week. And actually, it was a pretty eventful past 72 hours when we take a look at player movement, including the big move on Saturday, the Los Angeles Lakers acquiring Marcus Smart after a buyout with the Washington Wizards. We'll talk about that, some of the other moves going on right now. Joining us over the phone, as he does each Monday, we have our NBA analyst, James Hollis. James, always a pleasure to get you on.
Always a pleasure talking with you, my guy, and it's a little bittersweet today because you're getting one of my favorites. My large adult son Marcus Smart, is going to be wearing the yellow and the purple and gold. So a little sad, but hey, take good care of him.
Hey, the last time a standout guard from the Boston Celtics moved on and played for the Los Angeles Lakers late in his career, he won a championship. That was Rajon Rondo. I know that when we take a look at what Marcus Smart can bring to the table at this point in time, a lot is kind of predicated on health, right? But the story coming out of Luka Doncic reaching out and kind of recruiting Marcus Smart makes plenty of sense. I think together this makes a pretty formidable backcourt duo, and I think they mesh hand in hand. I really do.
Very much a low-risk, high-reward type move. I know they're getting him for, I think, less than $6 million a year. We know Marcus Smart, last time he was fully healthy, played defensive player of the year type level defense. He's intense. He's smart. He doesn't really care about shots, but he's not scared of the big moment. He just hasn't been able to be healthy. I think he's played 54 games over the last two seasons combined. This is kind of maybe, I guess this season will be a bellwether. Has the all-out style of play his whole career, has it finally caught up to him? Or was it just a string of bad luck, and he can have a bounce back with lesser usage and a smaller role playing in Los Angeles after a couple of years in the NBA hinterlands, and now he's back and he's hungry in a position to be able to win again. So, I'm pulling for Marcus Smart.
I think you make a great point talking about his all out style because he appears to be a very old 31-year-old.
Yeah, that's it. Even watching him when he did play the last couple of years, and sure, he's never maybe quite up to game shape and game speed. Yeah, he looks creaky, and he looks, But even so, Marcus Smart was such an amazing athlete. I think we kind of mislabel athleticism sometimes, right? He didn't jump the highest, and he didn't run the fastest, but great body control, super strong, great instincts, great hand-eye coordination. If he can bring, even at a reduced role, if he can bring that to the Lakers, he's automatically their best perimeter defender. He can guard literally 1 through 4. He's one of the few players who literally can guard 1 through 4, and even some 5, right? We saw Alex Crusoe stand up Joker. I'm pretty sure Marcus Smart could do very similar things in his prime. So if he can flash back and have, if he's 80%, 85% of what he was in Boston at his best, the Lakers got a good one.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I also think just looking at it on paper, this was a 50-win team last season. Knowing that you get a full year of Luka, I believe, he looks a lot more in shape. He looks a lot thinner than he did when he came to the Lakers in that trade last year. You talk about getting Ayton. We talked about Marcus Smart, right? You just take a look at some of the moves, LaRavia. You look at some of the moves the Lakers have made. There's no reason to believe this team's not going to be better. I still don't know where I put them in the Western Conference. I think it's a gauntlet, 1 through 6. But there's no question on paper this is a better team than last year's 50-win squad.
1,000%. They're definitely better than they were last year. Dorian Finney-Smith was a big loss. But the combination of Jake LaRavia and Marcus Smart is definitely an upgrade. DeAndre Ayton, at his best, we know has the potential to be so much better than anything they had at center last season. So there's no – but LeBron is a year older. That's the scary part, right? But it's not about the immediacy of LeBron anymore with Luka in tow. So it pains me to admit it, but yeah, everything came up pretty much roses for the Lakers this offseason.
It did, and I know that over the last week since we talked last time, things have kind of been quiet on the LeBron front. He has to know at this point in time he's not going to a better situation via trade, at least not right now, not ahead of the trade deadline.
Absolutely fascinating part of all of this is how we haven't heard much from LeBron and his camp. LeBron is the king of the off-season posts and workouts and Instagram. Not clout chasing, because he is clout. He's walking clout. But LeBron, you know, very self-promotional guy. And so the fact that we haven't seen or heard much of anything from him or his camp since the great proclamation from the clutch management, you know, when they made the whole speech about wanting to win now. Fascinating. The silence is almost deafening from his camp.
Let's move over to the other Los Angeles team, because there's a reunion going on as Chris Paul will play his 21st season in a Clippers uniform. This is a team that's been very, very active. They went out, they've added Bradley Beal, they've added John Collins, Brooke Lopez. This is a very, very deep team, and they added Chris Paul, who did play 82 games last year for the San Antonio Spurs. I think, if anything, we learned that CP3 still has a little bit left in the tank. He had talked about wanting to go play on the West Coast, be it for Phoenix, possibly the Lakers at the beginning of offseason was kind of talked about, but it seemed like a reunion with the Clippers was going to be most likely, and lo and behold, that's where he's at. And I think it's good. I mean, this is the team that I'm going to remember CP3 playing for. I think most NBA fans and pundits will as well. I actually like this reunion, James, quite a bit.
Hey, you know what? Not just for nostalgia purposes, where, like, you know, like you said, it's kind of like, you know, return back to home where he had the most success and his most probably famous run with Blake Griffin. But he was really good last year. He played a lot of games. I want to say he had almost 700 assists and like a little over maybe 100 turnovers, so like a 7-1 assist to turnover ratio. And the Spurs offense was 5 points better per 100 possession with him on the court than when he sat. So he's still an effective player. And we know James Harden is a workhorse, but now you have Chris Paul to back him up and play beside him. Maybe life and experience have humbled both of them, you know, after the flame out in 2019 in Houston where Chris Paul and Harden said their relationship was irreparable. You know, time and losing and struggle has maybe brought them back together with a different mindset. And we know, like, if this is Chris Paul's last hurrah, we know he's going to give it his best. And it's fun. It's a good story. I think the Clippers did amazing considering in their offseason.
Yeah, if I just look at what their 9-10-man rotation would be, I would assume you got a Beal and Harden backcourt, Kawhi at the three, Collins, Zubac in the front court. You take a look at what's coming off of the bench, Chris Paul, Chris Dunn, right? Brooke Lopez, Derek Jones. It's a pretty deep team. Plus, I believe they got Nicholas Batum as well. All in all, you take a look at this Clipper roster front to back, it's tough to find a better 1-10 if they are available. That's a big if.
I'll say a more consistent 1-10. I don't think their ceiling is as high as some other teams, 1-10. But if you're talking player for player, you're right. You know, maybe impact for impact. They need one more shooter / scorer off the bench, I think. One guy to consistently pop who can maybe give them, you know, 12 to 15 to 25 on a good night. And we don't see that. But, hey, beggars can't be choosers. They definitely have done a masterful job. They pivoted away from Paul George at the exact right time. As we all know, Paul George has had another surgery, is already injured in the offseason. So, hey, we can say what we want about Ballmer. The Kawhi-Paul George thing didn't work, but they have consistently been a high-quality team, you know, since Ballmer has taken charge. So kudos to them over in Clipperland.
You know, one of the names that just popped up to me when you said they needed one more guy that could maybe come off of the bench and give you a little something, we found out over the weekend, or actually today, I believe it became official, that Doug McDermott went to Sacramento on a one-year deal worth about $3 million. Wouldn't that have been a seamless fit to kind of round out that Clipper rotation?
Man, absolutely. You know, that would have been a perfect guy to, you know, same like Marcus Smart, low risk, high reward. Yeah, bring him in. Hopefully he can pop and find a nice groove. And if not, then, you know, cut him loose and just wave him or whatever. Find some way to do it. But he seemed like it would have been a nice story. I'm thinking somebody, because McDermott is always a great shooter, but there's a reason that must be, what, 5 or 6 different teams for him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, the defense is just that bad, you know. It's fun, great in small spots, but the fact he can't hold up defensively at all has been a big deal. So maybe someone a little better, but like I just said, beggars can't be choosers. He would have been a nice flyer for them.
Who do you like more right now? Which team in L.A.?
I'm still going to go. I got to say I don't have to say the Lakers. It pains me to say the Lakers because Luka's the best player. And I get it. Kawhi at his peak is probably right there, but we haven't seen him at his peak in a while. And the way he looked in the playoffs last year was a little, maybe the surgeries are starting to take a toll. The injury's taking a toll permanently now. But I think just with Luka and you know, the potential of LeBron, I still got to give them the slight edge. But then coaching wise, I got to give Ty Lue still has the edge there. and maybe energy and youthfulness wise, that would go to the Clippers, right? I think if you give them a series, it'd be a little harder, I think, because again, athleticism still doesn't really pop for the Lakers. But yeah, I gotta be honest with myself and give the Lakers the edge.
James Olis again joining us right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, let's move over to another reunion. Last week, Damian Lillard re-ups 3-year deal with the Portland Trail Blazers. I always thought Dame would end his career in Portland, even when he left, went over in the deal in Milwaukee. I think that was kind of a confident sentiment from people, right? They thought that at some point, Dame will once again wear a Blazer uniform. I'm a little bit surprised it's this early. I thought maybe he would sign a 1-1, go to a team that could contend for a championship immediately. But it all checks out, right? I mean, it's on course for what Dame has said his entire career. And I actually think it's a feel-good story.
It really is. And this one here is more, this is more than just basketball, right? Dame was Mr. Portland, Mr. Blazer. Well-loved there, and it's weird because I feel like maybe the outside chatter got to him more than maybe his actual heart, right, as far as he kept hearing, you'll never win here, you'll never win here. He knows the way he's viewed in the other circles. He knows, you know, Steph Curry is the standard. He was never quite up to that level. I wonder if there was that kind of external pressure that kind of got him to say, hey, I'm ready to get out of here. Obviously, I think the Blazers at that junction in their thing, too, they reached a dead end. And he was too good for them to really bottom out. He was just that level of player. So it was a mutual thing, bittersweet. He left. And, yes, the injury kind of accelerated everything, right? You blow out your Achilles at his age. All of a sudden he's persona non grata in Milwaukee. And teams aren't going to want to invest a lot of resources in him. So for him to be able to turn to Portland and they not only invest in him, they give him more money than they have to. They give him a no-trade clause. And they really embrace him because we know he means a lot to Portland. I mean, any fan base would love to have a guy like that. And I think it's almost like he's, you know, maybe admitting that, hey, you know, my heart has always been here. And Portland saying the same thing. So who knows how the fit's going to be in a year when he's ready to get back on the court. But we know that right now Portland's probably really glad to have him around. He's going to be good for Scoot Henderson. He's going to be good for that locker room culture. Because, yeah, it's sometimes it's more than basketball, right? Fandom is not just about what's on the court. It's off the court, too.
Yeah, you're so good at what you do. This is why I love getting you on. You give me so many segues, right? So many different directions we can take the conversation. And a moment ago, you're bringing up Dame being too good for Portland where they really couldn't bottom out. And I want to make sure we get this point across because I know there are fans of certain teams that maybe are a little bit upset of the lack of movement, lack of enthusiasm, or a lack of aggression from their team in the offseason. James, I am a firm believer that the way the current CBA is set up right now, it does you no good to be the 9th or 10th best team in your conference. You either want to be good or you want to bottom out. That's where we're sitting at in my mind right now with the first and second apron and where the CBA is right now. And that's why it was the right move for Portland. That's why it was the right move for Dame.
You nailed it. It is a feast or famine time in the NBA. And as they were built with Dame and, I don't know, let's say Jeremy Grant and some, a couple of young guys, they were going to be, you know, maybe fighting for the 10th seed, maybe. And they just can't afford to do that. Right, you're not going to be better because you can't afford to pay anyone. You would have to start paying guys like Anthony Simons, who he got his payday, and he's going to get another one here soon. And Dame is on his big contract, and you know they had Ayton making a lot of money, so they weren't in a position where they could just say, "All right, we're not very good, but we're going to add a couple players." That second apron is so punitive, and you know the repeater taxes are so punitive that it's going to be feast or famine time in the NBA. If you're not going to be a contender, if you're not slated to say, "Hey, we have a real legit chance of making the finals," the owner might give you a year or two, you know, flirting with that first second apron, but it gets to the point where, like the Celtics, the Tatum injury just accelerated everything. Where they said, "Okay, yep, let's tear this back down, back off a little bit, and try to regroup and reset," because that it's a lot of money for these owners. It's not my money, so I don't care, but ownerships definitely care.
I do want to move over to the Denver Nuggets. Got to get your take on Jonas Valanciunas. He is now officially committed to the Nuggets, says he's going to give it everything he possibly has. I really like this move for Denver in the offseason, and I think this storyline has kind of floated under the radar on if Valanciunas would actually be available for the Nuggets. It's not one of those moves that you're looking at and saying, well, this is going to make or break their championship run. But man, this is a great piece to know fully you will have going into the season. I think it is big for the Nuggets, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on the idea of Valanciunas now fully committed to playing for the Denver Nuggets.
Two things. First thing, I'm really shocked it wasn't like more talked about. to see a NBA player under contract who was really flirting with going overseas, even though there's no real mechanism for him to do it. That's, you know, under the current CBA, you have an NBA contract. You can't go play anywhere with, you know, any other FIBA-affiliated teams. And he was, you know, it took a long break there while he quote-unquote thought about it, which I don't know what there was to think about. Two, I'm going to even push back, not even push back, but I'm going to go a little further and say this might be the key to the Nuggets winning a championship. For years, so even the first championship, basically when Joker sat, it was a crapshoot of how things would go, and it normally was a losing cause. Joker sat, normally the offense fell off a cliff, and, you know, you really couldn't arrest him unless Jamal Murray was going God mode. So now you go from having, you know, the zombie DeAndre Jordan as your backup, or, you know, piecemeal having Aaron Gordon playing backup, to a legit center who could possibly give you 15-8, 15-10, a 20-10 night. He's a quality NBA starting level kind of center. Not known for his defense, but he's a big body. Wonderful addition, and you put together, I think the Nuggets might have had the best offseason of any team, right? The Lakers had a great one. I think only the Nuggets could say they had a better offseason. Well, them and the Rockets.
James, one with this. Summer League in Vegas comes to an end yesterday. Con Knipple, fourth pick in the draft, scores 21 points. Charlotte knocks off the Sacramento Kings 83-78. I don't know if you feel the same way. Later on in the Summer League run, it kind of died off for me a little bit. You know, we kind of talked about this last week on the show, the idea of Cooper Flagg being shut down. We talked about a couple of our Summer League standouts. Did you care about the championship in the Vegas Summer League?
No, I did not. I'm going to walk back one thing I said with you last week, where I was like, yeah, I understand the Cooper Flagg thing. I was really for it. But you know what? As a fan, I wasn't. I think I might have said that last week too. But yeah, once Cooper got shut down, and we haven't seen any more, I think Ace Bailey's already shut down. I want to say, you know, we saw a little Dylan Harper, but we haven't, I feel like you said, like maybe the last week, the last 5 days, we haven't seen any of the big names, and it does matter. Because it's still fun basketball, right? These guys are still playing hard, and I respect it. But even my Celtics, like, I wasn't really that thrilled and invested to watch Hugo Gonzalez, is that his name?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. Even like, on a micro level, my guy Jordan Walsh, who, you know, regular for Boston, a rotation guy, it was nice to see him play a few games, and they shut him down. So there definitely is something to say that, hey, Summer League is great. I'm glad the big names made splashes. We saw some great play from these high-level rookies. But for the most part, if those guys aren't playing every game, they're the headliners. Nobody wants to really tune in and see.
Lastly, one more thing before we go. Now that Summer League is done, here we are towards the end of July already, what is the next big domino to fall as far as player movement goes in the offseason, or do you think for the most part it's settled?
That is a great question. Al Horford still has to find a home.
Yeah.
There's always talk about him going to Golden State, which weirdly enough hasn't happened yet. And Jonathan Kuminga. I guess it all looks like he might have to take the qualifying offer, and maybe they move him at the deadline. But they are really far apart, too. And it's funny you were talking earlier because it popped in my head. Huh. Warriors have a Jonathan Kuminga problem. Lakers have an Austin Reeves problem. Is there something there? I mean, I don't think it's a one-for-one swap.
No.
But, you know, you throw another team in there where we got three guys going in a rotation. Who else needs to go? And who needs to go to Golden State? And where does Austin need to go? So, but, yeah, because they're both like the same level of player. I think Austin's a little more proven than Jonathan, obviously. But, you know, I don't think he was going to be a star, but both can be contributors on good teams. So that's, I'm going to say probably, you know, Kuminga has to find somewhere to go, and where is Al Horford going to land?
He's James Holas, again, kind enough to join us each week as we talk NBA basketball. Still very active, a lot going on, even towards the end of July. It's been a fun offseason, to say the least. James, before I let you go, we got to talk about where we can find more of you.
I'm ready to turn up for the off season. You can find me where I pay homage to the great Scottie Pippen at Snotty Drippin on all social media platforms. And you can follow my Jake LaRavia is the reason that Memphis fell apart agenda. I call him Keystone LaRavia, so maybe the Lakers did get a gem there.
Always a pleasure to get you on the show. I hope you're right. In the meantime, James, can't wait to do it again next week. Thank you again.
Thanks for going on my rambling, buddy. Always fun.
Let's pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.